Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I got that playing on my boombox. When I walk around the yard, the neighbors are distressed. They've called the cops on me a few times. But I'm just blasting that. Yeah, don't even think about it. Don't come within my six-foot personal zone. And I'm getting many of my spiritual needs met online. As many of us are. Necessity, the mother of invention, and all that stuff. I have some questions about how this is working for churches and synagogues and mosques around the state. You know, this physical distancing is really, really tough when it comes to ministering to people's hearts. Pastor Paul Bodwin, from Aldersgate United Methodist Church in St. Louis Park, graciously agreed to come on and talk to us about some of the challenges of ministering to his flock during this age of pandemic. Pastor, thank you for coming on today.
My pleasure to be here, Paul. I just have to say, you know, I think I told you this when I met you at the fair this summer, but when I was 13, I wanted to be a meteorologist, and I idolized you. So it is an honor to be on the airwaves with you today.
Well, that's very kind of you. Did I come to your elementary school, Pastor?
Oh, maybe. I don't think so. I would have remembered that.
Talking about tornadoes or God knows what.
I wanted to be a meteorologist, and then I took a meteorology class in eighth grade and literally got an F. And so I was like, well, I don't think that's going to happen.
I feel your pain. I had to take six calculus courses, and I don't know how I got through that stuff. And today, I still have trouble balancing my checkbook. But thank you for the kind words. And I think you chose the right career path. I am in awe of ministers and pastors, the responsibilities they have. I mean, I think there is no greater responsibility other than maybe healthcare workers. But how are you holding up? And what special challenges have you been faced with, Pastor?
Oh, it's, you know, I'm holding up all right. And the whole move to complete online worship and everything has been a challenge. Thankfully for us, we already did live streaming before this, so it was a little easier for us, but it's still quite a challenge. One of the biggest challenges in it was immediately recognizing all of those people that come to our church that aren't connected electronically, and how do we care for them? How do we engage them in worship? Was a big challenge. And then, of course, the biggest challenge is right before the stay-at-home orders went down and everything, a member of our congregation died, and we just have this funeral on hold, and even just the pastoral care element of that is difficult. So, yeah, I mean, those are some of the big challenges.
I know, you know, ministers are not just sitting around, you know, working on their sermons for Sunday. Right. I realize, you know, that's the kind of the tip of the iceberg. You don't see the stuff below the surface, how you minister one-on-one with members of your congregation. How has COVID-19 affected how you deal one-on-one with members of your church?
Yeah, that, of course, is very difficult. Yeah, the sermon stuff isn't all we do. That usually happens late Saturday night. No, just kidding. But
I hear you.
But the one-on-one stuff is difficult. I have a member who's in hospice care right now, and I wasn't able to get to see him before this, and now I can't go over there. So I'm beginning to right now climb out of the insanity of all of this and start to look at potentially some Zoom meetings over pastoral care and things like that. But it's still just not the same, you know. A lot of people, particularly when they're laying in a hospital bed, they just crave that hand touching you as you pray. Means so much, and the physical presence means so much, and that's, we can't do it, and it's heartbreaking when you hear about some of the things that people are going through, and there's just so little we can do about it. Short of a phone call or a Zoom call is about all we can do.
And look, the online stuff is great, and thank God we have that technology. Again, imagine if this had happened before the internet. I mean, we'd be even crazier. But my question for you is, with Easter Sunday coming up, mm-hmm. and the online component, there are limitations to what you can do online. You need to keep the lights on. You need to keep paying staff. That's really hard. It's hard to get donations from your congregation when they're watching online, right? It's just a different paradigm.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. You know, again, with the electronic age, a lot of people have moved to electronic giving already, which is something we're, of course, pushing right now. People can still send checks in the mail, and they do as they're able. We have an online giving link right under where our stream is on our website, and we keep mentioning it to people. We're also in a good spot where, you know, as soon as this happened, one of my finance people said, look, we've got enough cash flow to get us through about at least 4 to 6 weeks. So you don't need to even think about that right now, which is good. I also have a team of people that are diving in and looking at, you know, these relief packages that the state and federal government are putting out there to get us on that if we need it. So thankfully there are some resources available, and a lot of people are continuing to pay as they can. But the real worry is, you know, when people lose jobs and don't have any income, I don't want anybody to give beyond their means. So there's often situations like this, it's a trickle down to the church. Eventually it gets to the church, but it can take a little while.
Pastor, last question, 15 seconds, putting you on the spot. Would you be okay? I know you're a big Twins fan. Would you be okay just if they don't play at Target Field for safety reasons? Are you okay with just listening to them on CCO Radio and The Wolf this season?
I'd be all right with them doing that thing in Arizona if Dr. Fauci's okay with it.
Okay. All right. if you get the Fauci blessing, I'm with
Fauci
you there.
If Fauci gives it a thumbs up, I'm on board, and I would love to listen to some baseball.
Pastor Beaudoin, thank you so much. Great talking with you again, my friend, and stay safe, and God bless you and the things you're doing.
Thank you, and a happy Passover to Jordana.
Absolutely. I will pass that on. Thank you, sir.
All right.
By the way, 9:30 Easter Sunday, we are going to be running the Basilica Easter Sunday Mass in its entirety this upcoming Sunday at 9:30. Please tune in. We'll be back and we'll talk about landscaping and irrigation and plant care in the age of pandemic. That's next. Paul here with you. Thank you for keeping me company. You're kind of my virtual babysitter, right? Just keeping me in line. Because Dave Josephson, our producer DJ, can only do so much. He thinks he's the boss of me. Actually, that would be Jordana.
I was hired to keep Jordana in line. I don't even know why I'm here today, since she's off celebrating Passover.
It is really quiet, isn't it? You can hear the birds chirping, and can hear my lawn growing, I think. Anyway, Jor is off for Passover, and we wish Jor the very best. We wish all our Jewish friends the very best. Hope your Seder goes well. Hope the computer and the internet stays up for your Zoom Seder. People are getting creative. It's amazing. And all this technology we're leaning on to connect, I mean, we're going to keep doing it after this is over, and it will be over. And there is life after COVID-19. Mayor de Blasio in New York City said the 276 New York City Police Department officers who had coronavirus and recovered have returned to work in New York City. Hundreds more FDNY, the fire department folks, they are back at work after surviving coronavirus. And again, many people just have a mild case, right? 70-80%. It doesn't require hospitalization. But the people that get socked really get socked, and not knowing in advance. Sometimes the people who think they're healthy and are healthy, athletes, are the ones that come down with some of the worst symptoms. Their immunity system works against them. Anyway, we got to keep things going, and we wanted to talk about our yard. Since more of us are spending more time in our yards than ever, wanted to get a pro on the air, Dave Peller from ProTurf, professionalturf.com, to talk a little bit about, A, how this is affecting his business, and B, what we should all be doing in April here to get ready for what will be an interesting summer. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Tell us first about your situation, other fellow landscapers. You are now considered essential. You guys can work, right?
That is correct. As of 12:01 tonight, we can all go back to work.
Boy, you must be relieved about that.
We're ecstatic about that.
Oof. Tell us what you can conduct physical distancing. I mean, you have teams that go out, and I know you've got commercial and residential customers. And looking at your website, I know you do landscaping and fertilizing and irrigation and plant care. You do it all. But are you taking any special precautions to keep your staff safe?
Well, as you know, all of our staff does work outdoors. Every truck is driven by one person in a truck. All the people that would work on a crew together are now reporting directly to the job site. And ProTurf is buying gas for all the people that have to drive their cars directly to the job site. And we're doing staggered start times, and we have our own fuel source at our location. So our employees are not going to any public fueling station to expose themselves in any way like that. So we believe we're safer, less exposed than going to the store.
Well, that's a relief, and it sounds like you're doing all the right things, Dave. What should we be thinking of right now when it comes to fertilizing our lawns, treating our lawns in advance? We got off to a nice, warm, early spring, and now we're going to have this relapse next week with a hard freeze for maybe 3 or 4 nights. With that in mind, what should be top of mind for all of us who want our yards to be looking as good as possible this year?
Well, the one thing we need to do for all the lawns is just get the surface clean. So leaves, twigs, debris that's on the surface. It doesn't necessarily even require raking. That could be done with some sort of a handheld or backpack blower. Just simply clean the surface. The brown grass that is on the lawn now, that's dead grass from over the winter. That's not going to green up. The new green growth is going to come from shoot growth from the base of the grass plant up. That new green growth will grow up, cover the brown, and you won't see it anymore. So getting ready, just clean the surface. As far as that lousy forecast you gave us for next week, we're going to see minimal, if any, changes to the turf, because turf does not grow much. Turf is a perennial, so the below 32 temperature is not necessarily going to harm the turf, but it's not going to improve any. So when we fertilize a lawn, we're going to improve the growth of that lawn, green it up faster. If the lawn is not growing, if the daytime temperatures are less than 50 degrees, we're really not going to see much of a change. But the fertilizer is not going to be used. It'll be there on the lawn, get watered in the soil when it rains, and be available for the grass plant when the grass plant does start to grow.
Okay. What about mulch? We just had 70 bags of mulch delivered, and my wife is the mulch queen. She loves to mulch. I never heard that in a sentence, but she does. And is there a compelling argument to be made for mulching? Where do you stand on that?
Well, mulching is good, and mulching is aesthetic at this time of year, so it looks fresh when the mulch bed is fresh and clean. Mm-hmm. Too much mulch can cause problems for plants. Too much mulch over a perennial that might have not come up yet. It may inhibit the growth of that for a while. But mulching is beneficial. It reduces weeds. It retains moisture in the soil. We just got to watch it, so we're keeping it about a 2 to 3 inch mulch thickness.
Let's say, two or three biggest mistakes that well-intentioned Minnesotans make when it comes to caring for the yards? And when do you say, well, this is just beyond my scope, I'd love to try to keep up with it myself, but I need professional help? What do you say to that?
Well, a common spring misconception is mechanically dethatching your lawn. So we walk across the lawn, we see the brown leaf blades on the lawn. We think we need to remove those and get those out of there. Grass plants, leaf tissue lasts for about 3 weeks. So through the course of the summer, when the lawn looks very good, they're always dying. But because they have so much new growth and we're mowing that, we don't see that anymore. So mechanical dethatching in the spring, you'll make a lot of work. You'll bag a lot of grass. You'll also cut into the soil. You'll disrupt some seeds that may have been too deep and wouldn't grow otherwise. Now you're bringing them close to the surface, so you probably increase your weed problem, your crabgrass problem, et cetera. So that's a common thing we see in the springtime is people, we get a lot of calls for that. Should I be dethatching or do we provide dethatching? So it's simply just getting the lawn ready, getting it clear, getting the surface ready. A short cutting is another way to do that. You could mulch your leaves, set your mower down one notch lower than the previous fall cutting, and that will help expedite green up too, because now the sun's going to warm the soil with a little less leaf tissue standing.
And moisture-wise, it seems like we're not too wet out there as opposed to last year, right? I mean, we're doing okay in the moisture department.
Well, we are. Things are drying slower. Yesterday was a good drying day because of the temperature, but as we progress now, we've got rain coming up. So usually in the month of April, Minnesota pretty much takes care of the lawns. Now, if we have a stretch where we're 60s, 70s, and 80s, and it doesn't rain for 10 days or 7 days, we may need to add moisture just to stimulate that growth. We might have enough warmth but not enough moisture. But right now, I think there's rain coming up towards the end of the week, and so we're still fine, I think, on the rain and moisture.
Yeah, that's what they say, Dave. They don't really know, though.
Yeah,
just
well,
don't know how to break that to you.
Too far away from Saturday?
No, it does look like we're going to get some rain. I don't think it's going to be a lot of rain, but
okay.
I don't think this year is going to be like the last few springs where we just get pounded with storm after storm where everything is super saturated. Just the way the patterns are setting up, I don't think it's going to be that wet. But, A, I'm glad you're back to work and other landscapers are back to work. And thank you for what you do. And stay safe out there, Dave. Glad you could join us today.
We appreciate the time, and we appreciate Governor Walz and all the people, Matt Little, all the people that worked with us and helped us get back to work. So it was a joint effort by all the people in the industry, and we appreciate the positive response.
You bet. Thank you, Dave. Dave Peller, in charge at ProTurf, professionalturf.com. Thank you, Dave. We're standing by for the president and his daily press conference. As soon as President Trump comes to the podium, we will break away. That's next. This clearing overnight, 33. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, windy, 43. Winds gusting over 30. A few sprinkles in the air. Good Friday looks better. More sun, less wind, 50 for a high. That's about average for this time of year. Saturday, a growing chance of rain showers later in the day and at night, high 51. Easter Sunday, a cold rain switching over to wet snow. And yeah, there could be a little bit of slush on lawns by Monday morning. Doesn't look like much right now. Maybe enough to shovel and plow for parts of southeastern Minnesota, closer to Rochester and Winona. And then next week looks cold. 3-4 days in a row, highs in the 30s. 55 out there right now. A heat wave. From the Rudy Luther Toyota Weather Center, Paul Douglas on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Now when a virus comes along that's spreading like a plague, and POTUS and his lackeys have been nothing if not vague, well then you've got to trust the CDC and listen well, unless you want to bid our free society farewell.
Oh my.
There is a super bad, transmittable, contagious, awful virus. And if we don't act,
Paul, with you, thanks for hanging in there. If you missed the official announcement from the governor, which came out during his press conference at about 2 o'clock, Governor Walz has extended the stay-at-home order until May 4th.
I'm going to extend today the stay-at-home order until May 4th from the April 10th. We will then align the public accommodation order. That's the issue on bars and restaurants and amusement activities from May 1st to May 4th. This will give us the time necessary to build that prevention and the treatment capacity.
And again, time to build up the ICU capacity, the intensive care, the beds, to make sure we have ventilators for the people that need them. And according to the governor and Commissioner Malcolm, to keep the most vulnerable among us isolated and protected. This buys us time, and it flattens out the demand. It spreads out the demand on Minnesota's healthcare system. And he pointed out a few things. We flattened the curve more than any other state, which was news to me. He also said 1 in 4 Minnesotans may be asymptomatic. You may have already caught COVID-19 and you don't even know it. The symptoms were mild or non-existent. 25% of us may be asymptomatic. And again, the goal is to avoid overflowing hospitals. The faster we can get up to speed with testing and therapeutics, these antiviral drugs, these malarial drugs, the faster perhaps we can come out of this. So curious to get your reaction. What do you think? Is it the right call? Based on what you know. My father used to say growing up, Douglas, once you have all the information, the decision is easy. You go, thanks, Dad. How do you get all the information? And these days, everything, it seems, is political, right? Now numbers are political. 651-989-9226. The right call? Are we erring on the side of safety? Are we doing the right thing? What do you think? 651-989-9226. The question has come up, when will it be safe to reopen the state, to reopen the nation? And I guess the short answer is, well, we can't wait till there's a vaccine, which would be next year at this time, if we're lucky. 30 companies working on a vaccine. Experts tell us to look for a few signs. Hospitals have to get out of crisis mode. We can't have people lined up for the ICU. The testing for COVID has to be widespread. Truly, everybody that wants a test can get a test. And we can determine if you already have the antibodies. You already have some level of immunity from COVID-19. States have to be able to monitor confirmed cases in real time. In countries like Singapore and China and, even Hong Kong, they can track people using their cell phones. If you test positive for COVID, the authorities know. And you are tracked on your cell phone to make sure that you are avoiding other people and adhering to social distancing. Did the governor make the right call? Tim in Frogtown. How's it going, Tim?
Yeah, good evening, Paul. I think he made a really good call. I foresee it going even further than May 4th, maybe till June, July, beyond maybe. I hope not. But, the numbers that I'm seeing nationally, like almost, going extremely high within a 24-hour period, from Tuesday in the morning to Wednesday afternoon, it's just the numbers are going way high. I think, there could be actually more done. But, I mean, what can you do, more than what you're doing? And I think that's on a state and federal level, that's what we should be discussing at this point.
All right. Tim, thank you for weighing in. Dale in St. Paul, is May 4th the right call?
No, I think, Tim sounds like he wants us to be locked down until probably next year, but that's a little bit too long. Anyways, I'm thinking he's probably 2 weeks too long. I think another 10 days, 2 weeks from now. And after that, I think the people that consider themselves to declare themselves in that risk area, you know, 60 years plus, 50 years plus, who have a pre-existing condition, they're always going to be at risk, Paul, for anything. Am I, is that correct? I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Well, sure. I mean, the risk is higher even just of the seasonal flu. If you have pre-existing conditions.
98.5% of the people that have succumbed to this have pre-existing conditions. And I think that that's always going to be there. I think the people that are healthy, declare themselves healthy 2 weeks from now, we need to get out golfing. They could probably go back to work. I think it's already run its course by then. And I think if they haven't been sick by then, Paul, they're probably not going to get sick. But the people that have pre-existing conditions that are older, that could be, you know, they could be down for probably, you might want to watch it. You might want to watch it for 3 months. But, you know, anything, somebody that's got diabetes and is, who's ill, who's older, I mean, a cold can take you down. But Tim better mellow a little bit. He's going too long.
Dale, thank you for calling, man. I hope it's not till next year. And threading that needle, right? We all want the economy back. We all want February back. I miss February. But we also don't want Grandma to die or Aunt Susie to die. And what's scary is, I mean, first of all, show me, and Dale, I think you made some very good points. I do. But show me a perfect human being, a human who has truly no health considerations. Now they're saying that even ex-smokers, if you smoked 20, 30, 50 years ago, you fit the definition of pre-existing condition. You may be at higher risk. You may have done some damage to your lungs, and you may be more susceptible to this nasty pneumonia that coronavirus exhibits. It goes for your lungs, not for everybody, but the people that are dying wind up, you know, just a horrible, horrible death. Mike in Plymouth, do you have an opinion? Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, man. How you doing today?
Doing okay. How's it going?
Fortunately, I have a job that is considered essential, so I'm at work.
Good. What do you think of the governor's? What do you think of Governor Walz extending this?
Yeah, I don't think, as far as the economy is concerned, I don't think there's any good way to do it. That said, I get where he's coming from, man. Just what you said about being an ex-smoker. I'm 55, used to smoke, right? So I guess I'm in that group, but. I think about my mom. She's 74, still smokes, right? I have a daughter who's diabetic that's quite young, but that's still a concern. I understand that. You know, I understand it. I just hope that we're able to flatten the curve enough that, you know, we can just come up out of this soon.
I hope you're right. Thank you, Mike. Hey, thanks for calling in. Thank you for listening, sir. Neil is calling in. Hey, Neil, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from West St. Paul. I actually live in Mendota, but I'm calling from work today.
Okay, great. Well, what do you think? Was it the right call extending this to May 4?
I think it was exactly the right call. And I listen to CCO all day here when I'm at work. Haven't been to work lately, but the last 2 days I have. And I listened to your broadcast of Trump. He's all over the place, and people behind him have the facts. Governor Walz, whether you're Republican or Democrat, he stood up there. He did his job as governor. He provided the facts. He had its support. And I think, you know, the people that disagree with him, I understand they may disagree. But now's the time that we're in it together. And we support the governor, and we get behind him, and don't get people commenting that they argue and disagree, and he's all wrong. He's right on, and he has the facts that they're going by, and it'll save lives.
Neil, thank you for being so eloquent. I tend to agree. Carrie and Stuart, you're the last caller before the president weighs in. Carrie, what do you think?
I think he's right. I got a chance to listen on your station to the beginning of his announcement today, and I think he's right. I love how the curve for us is flat. I love how We are not getting it. And I think hospitals are ready for us. I'd rather err on the side of life and wait a little longer than anything else.
Well said, Carrie. Thank you for listening. Let's do we have time, DJ? Let's try to squeeze in Keith from Minneapolis. Keith, what do you make of this?
Well, I'm not a scientist, so I got to go with what he says. It could change overnight, but I wish people would stop throwing their masks and gloves on the parking lots for people to have to pick up. That's a bigger issue.
Are people doing that? Really? You're seeing that?
Oh, absolutely. Especially over in the Midway, St. Paul area, they're laying all over the parking lots. They come out of the store, they throw everything on the ground and keep on going.
Well, that's not good.
No.
Oy. All right. Hey, Keith, thank you. Yep. Appreciate the call. Yep. Speaking of the science, and you brought up the science, and yeah, look, this is a time for experts and scientists and specialists more than ever. I get nervous when people on both sides of the aisle try to politicize this. This is a time you listen to the people, the PhDs, the people that went to school, that really know what they're talking about.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.